Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us for the last section of Pastor Ken Keltner's message for our Easter time.
And then we see the message of the angel. He says to them this, first of all, I need to calm you women down. He says, do not be alarmed. Maybe your Bible has amazed there. That word is found in Mark 14:33. Same word in the Greek that describes the distress, the agony that Jesus experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. Wow. And the angel then says, I got some good news. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, get this now, who was crucified, is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. You want to talk about some good news? That's good news. The crucified one, says the angel, has been raised. The certainty of the resurrection rests on the angel's message from God, which people then and now are called on to believe. The women are not directed to some spiritual experience or some mystical encounter. They are directed specifically to Jesus who died by crucifixion. You witnessed it. Ladies, you were there. You saw him crucified. He was buried. He was put in the tomb. You saw where he was in the tomb. You saw the exact tomb. And now here you are at the exact place where Jesus was, but he's not here, for he's risen. The verbs in verse 6 of Mark 16 refer to both sides of the Easter event, the before and the after. What he did on that cruel cross and how he was beaten. He prophesied it was going to happen, and he did it at the time of Passover week, for he would be the perfect Passover to take away the sin of the world. And now he's risen. Have you ever heard of a man by the name of Harry Houdini? Harry Houdini was from the great state of Wisconsin. Harry Houdini had this, it seemed like this magical way of escaping whatever he was entrapped with. I mean, he had these spectacular escapes. He worked with iron. He had all kinds of tools to help him unlock locks. I mean, usually when people would come with a lock or chains, he would start laughing at them because he could just get away so easy. I mean, they tried to incarcerate him in several ways. They would seal him in a coffin, and he would escape. They riveted him into a boiler. Can you imagine? He escaped. They even tried sewing him up in some canvas bags, and he escaped. They even locked him in a milk can, and he escaped. They even put him in a maximum security prison, and he escaped. A person came up and said the reason he escaped was they were so concerned about Harry Houdini, they forgot to lock the prison door. I said, wow, I don't know I've ever driven by a prison that they forgot to do that. But old Harry somehow got out there with that prison door open. But then in October of 1926, old man Death laid his hands on Harry Houdini, and he would walk around and he'd go to people and go, hit me, hit me. People would come up and hit him. But I guess a man came up to hit him when Harry Houdini wasn't expecting it. And it caught him just right, and he knew death was imminent. Death had Harry, and Harry wasn't going to escape death. And neither are you and I. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Death thought it actually had Jesus Christ wrapped up in that tomb for 3 days. The stone was over the mouth of the tomb. The seal of the Roman government was placed upon that tomb so it couldn't be broken. But on that third day, Jesus Christ arose. And he left those grave clothes that were wrapped around him like a butterfly would forsake a cocoon. The soldiers were testifying of an empty tomb as they left their post in fear. Jesus Christ passed through those walls and the stone was rolled away to let everyone know he's risen. He's not behind us in the tomb, ladies and gentlemen. He is before us on a throne. And the Bible says he is our great advocate. He is our defense lawyer. Because the devil, the demon, that man that he is, the father of lies and the father of murder, comes to God. And he accuses those of you who are Christians here. He accuses you before God night and day. And you have a lawyer, Jesus Christ, our advocate, who defends you. And he defends you if you've been washed in the blood. Not your blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament would cover sin. The blood of Jesus, we're told, washes away sin completely. He offers us the gift of salvation to anyone who will believe in him and what he did. If you're here this morning, I would trust that you're 100% sure you know what's going to happen to you when you die. The Bible wants you to know, wants you to have the assurance that you can live with God. If you're not 100% sure, I'm glad you're here today, because you can walk out of this auditorium knowing that if you were killed right on Pilgrim as you left this church, that you could be in the presence of God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. The angels have testified of the empty tomb. And then in verses 7 and 8, we find this, that they give a vibrant task. This angel gives a vibrant task for these ladies to go out and to testify. I love it. It says verse 7, but go, tell his disciples, this is interesting, and Peter, that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you. So they went out quickly. We're talking about the ladies still. And they fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They were commanded to go and tell. There was a new assignment for them. They came, if you remember, with spices to put on the body of Jesus. They didn't really embalm, so to try to keep the stench down, they would put pounds of spices on a dead body to try to keep them from the stench. But no, there's no need to anoint with spices a body that is no longer here. It's time to start proclaiming the good news that he's alive and go back to the disciples and tell them. What a great message that we have to proclaim. We're part of this testimonial of the empty tomb. I mean, if Jesus was not alive and he was in the tomb, we got nothing to share. But because he's alive and we're alive, we can share that message with others and they can know the life that Jesus brings. For he is the truth and the life. No man can come to the Father but through him. The death of Jesus conquered sin and overcame death's finality. But it's a resurrection that gives you and me hope, life, and reason to continue when everything seems hopeless. Listen, a genuine belief in Jesus Christ and what he did, and belief in the fact of his resurrection, will radically transform us as we approach this life. I don't know how bad it has to get for you, but I hope that no matter what happens, you can go back to this reminder, the God that I serve, my Savior, is alive. And because he lives, I have hope for tomorrow. The risen Messiah offers us the same eternal, abundant life that he enjoys. And he gives them this specific instruction. You go and tell the disciples. And Peter. That's kind of unique to Mark. None of the other gospel writers actually called out Peter, but Mark did. You remember Peter was probably going through a rough time, was he not? He had denied his Lord. And he says, you go and tell him and tell them. He'll see them in Galilee. Wow, what a word of grace. What a word of forgiveness. What a word of hope and promise. A pledge for a new beginning. I mean, it had all started in Galilee when Jesus saw them out there casting their nets, looking for fish. And he says, hey, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they threw down their nets, and they went. Now they're going back to where it all began. We're told the ladies fled from this tomb, and they were fearful. They said nothing, but we know from the other gospel writers that they eventually were able to shake off that fear that they had, and they started to tell people. One pastor I read helps us kind of put things in perspective about these women leaving the grave, and I'll close with this. He says, quote, should they not have returned home rejoicing in the news that they had heard? Is there not something that's kind of unexpected about this response? That this response in itself is a mark of authenticity. If we were to invent the story, he said, we wouldn't have had it ended this way, that they're going off kind of scared. Later on, Mark tells us here that they didn't really listen to what they were wanting to share. But he said this, he said, it's more than that. In Mark's gospel, this fear is always man's response to the breaking in of the power of God. It's the fear of the disciples that they experienced when Jesus calmed that storm. The fear of the Gerasenes when Jesus delivered that man from a legion of demons. And he sat there, clothed in his right mind. They were fearful. The fear of the disciples as they saw Jesus setting his face toward Jerusalem to die on that cross. This fear is the response of men and women, he goes on to say, to Jesus as he shows his power and majesty as the Son of God. End of quote. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Jesus came not to make us fear. Jesus came to give us life, to give us hope, And he tells us now that we can bring our burdens and cast them on him, for he truly cares for us. How would these disciples, how would they respond to all of this? God was going to use them to turn this world upside down, and his message, after 2,000 plus years, still goes forth in power and in truth. You might reject Jesus today, but you can't ignore him. His resurrection calls you to a response. God could not have made his gift of salvation any easier. All you need to do is exercise the use of your first gift that he gave you, choice, to receive another gift that you choose, eternal life. If you know Jesus here today, it would be something that you give God thanks and praise, and you just want your life to be used to bring him glory. As the former president of Princeton University said, when I trusted Jesus Christ, then it was like my life was a P.S. to say, God, thank you for all that you've done in my life. May Jesus, as your Savior, truly be your Lord and your King by how you live, by what you say, by what you do. But if you're here this morning and you say, Ken, I don't know that if I were to die, I would live eternally with God. But I understand that he came, he took on all my sin, and I can accept him to be my Savior. I would love for you, as we bow our heads and we close our eyes and bow our hearts to the Lord, to help you with just a simple prayer to God. But our Father, we're so grateful and thankful that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us on that cross. Many here have made that decision. They have a testimony of their faith that Jesus is their Savior. But if you're here this morning and you don't know that, I'd like to invite you to follow along in your own hearts quietly. This offering of a simple prayer to God from your heart to him. Something like this. Dear God, I know that my sin has put a barrier between you and me. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die in my place. I trust in Jesus alone to forgive my sins. I accept his gift of salvation, of eternal life. I come to Christ alone, by faith alone, in asking Jesus to be my personal Savior. I trust him completely to forgive my sins. Can I tell you, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, it immediately took place. You have now been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you were to die walking out of here with a heart attack, you would live your eternity with God in heaven, because Jesus Christ is your Savior. And the Bible says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. So, Father, we want to help folks if they've made that decision. We also, Father, want to be challenged to live and to honor and glorify you. And so now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.